Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Shoot the Defense, brought to you by the FNX Network and My Sportswear. I'm your host, Stel, and joining me this evening is journalist and author of Nearly Reached the Sky, A Farewell to Upson Park. Returning to Shoot the Defense, it's Brian Williams. Brian, great to have you back on, mate.
Well, thanks very much. Good evening.
It's an absolute pleasure having you on again, mate.
Well, it's good to be asked.
Great to have you back. Well, Brian, as you're... You know, as everyone's aware now, West Ham left their Upton Park home to relocate to the London Stadium over the summer. Now, it wasn't the best of starts for the club, and especially the powers that be. Poor results coupled with crowd troubles stoked up the fire already started by social media and those who opposed the move from the start. Now, Brian, watching them in a new stadium, it must be extremely difficult given the history of Upton Park. Is the London Stadium beginning to grow on you, mate?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's horrible. There's no pleasure in going there at all, really. It saps your very soul out of you from the moment you start the long trudge from the station to get there. Every step as I get closer to the stadium, my heart gets heavier and it's grim.
Just like that.
For all sorts of reasons, really, which I'm happy to explain just further. Some of the football we've seen this season has been pretty drastic. But every football supporter knows you don't go just to watch the football. It's about the whole experience of the day out. You know, if you just wanted to watch a team win every week, you'd support Chelsea, I suppose. And I suppose some people have to support Chelsea, but that's not why West Ham fans go, for sure.
No, absolutely.
And all of that match day experience, or much of it, has been stripped away. And people are trying to put it back together where they can. But remember, we're not talking about a ground that has sort of relocated to another part of a built-up area where there are pubs and shops and pie mash and all that. This is in the middle of basically a theme park. I mean, the Olympic Park is a great open space with you trudge there from the station. You're in a big exposed area. There is nothing there, really. You don't stop and have a pint between the station or get a pie. It is, the idea is you get in the stadium and you buy the stadium merchandise, which I have to say is terrible. Mm. I made the mistake of having a hot dog in there on Saturday, and it was practically inedible. It really was grim. But the whole thing and the business of all of the things that surround the whole day, the stewarding is terrible. It is really, really aggressive and offensive. The stadium, the way it's laid out, is not built for football. It's an athletic stadium. It was built so you looked at a track. Obviously, the football, the idea is that it's placed on a pitch in the middle. The whole viewing experience is rubbish. And the whole, there is no atmosphere because, again, the way the migration was done from, from the Bolin to the new stadium, there was no idea of people being moved from the groups that they were in and the sort of, you know, the friends, you know, your friends within and the people who like to sing and the people who like to stand. Now you're just scattered around. There are 10,000 children in the stadium. There are 10,000 kiddies season tickets sold, which is great, you know, I mean, in theory, but they're not. There isn't a family enclosure. So if you get up and you're going to offer a few comments on Mike Dean's performance as he sends one of your players off, and you're aware that you're sitting next to a 6-year-old girl You know, you don't use quite the same industrial language.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a good thing. But the whole experience is different, yeah, and not to my taste.
Well, the thing is, Brian, what I wouldn't say it confuses me as such. It's not a surprise these days that, you know, these clubs are moving stadiums. Obviously, they want to talk about the, you know, they use the excuse which, well, we can get more bums in seats and whatnot. A bigger stadium means more revenue, yada, yada, yada. But something tells me that the owners of West Ham United, the powers that be, they're trying to, I don't know, filter out certain supporters and bring in a different kind of supporter, if that makes sense.
Well, they quite openly talked on the website before the move of bringing in, they wanted to see neutral supporters. Now, what the hell is a neutral supporter? You don't go to a football match. It's not kind of like going to the theatre to watch, I wonder how the play is going to turn out.
Mm.
What is the point of going to a football match if your heart and soul isn't invested in one team or the other?
Yeah. Well, I know Fulham have got a neutral end, don't they, behind one of the goals, but that team still end up in away supporters' hands anyway, so it's not really a neutral section. But I get the feeling that the guys at West Ham, you know, Sullivan, Gold and Brady, they want a different type of supporter, you know, moving away from the bowling in that area, you know, very how can I call it, it's very working middle class there, isn't it, kind of thing. So I don't know, it just seems,
well, I think what happened was when the Olympics was, you know, when London got the Olympics, it became obvious that there would be a massive great stadium that nobody had any use for. It's happened in every Olympics there's ever been. So when that came up, when they bought the club, they knew that the Olympic Stadium would be sitting there as a big white elephant. They could sell the bowling ground. They could move into the Olympic Stadium at a peppercorn rent. The deal, you know, the taxpayer has been well and truly screwed over by West Ham for this deal. And it's, as a money-making venture, it's second to none. It's been brilliant for the owners. It's been terrible for the fans.
Yeah. We mentioned the stewarding earlier. I mean, what I don't understand is that how is it that a club that's held so many hostile games over the years, you know, your Millwalls, your Cardiffs, Tottenham's, Arsenal's, you know, how have they got the stewarding so wrong?
Well, that's a very good question. And, I mean, well, I've heard stories, again, of people being told to sit down. There was a guy saying he was actually getting up to leave and a steward came and told him to sit down. Friends of mine have been told to keep the noise down. Can you believe that in a football ground? They just don't get what a football crowd is like. And, you know, West Ham fans are fairly rambunctious. You know, we're not the quietest supporters. Some like to stand up. I absolutely agree that if you are sitting behind somebody who wants to stand up, it's a very antisocial business. But there should be areas where, personally, I would prefer safe standing introduced. Yep. I know the arguments for and against, but every club turns a blind eye to its home supporters standing up in certain sections. And if you go in certain sections, you know you're going to stand. And if you go in other sections, you know you're going to be able to sit and not worry about it. But we've had people standing in the back row being told to sit down. Now, you know, you're not, that's just being officious. And some of the stewards do not know how to handle a West Ham crowd.
This these stewards that you mentioned, I mean, they're not from the bowling, as you told me before the show, but contracted out or brought in?
I think there's some kind of contracted out deal, and there are thousands of them. And again, it's as you go into the ground, there are really sort of really heavy duty searches going on of everybody going in, women, children. Obviously, blokes. I'm 60 years old. I don't go tooled up to, for aggro at a football match. I really resent being searched. I just do. And it's such a cursory search that if you actually had anything, you probably wouldn't. They wouldn't find it anyway. It's a sort of a show of look at us. We're in charge here. We're the stewards. In the ground, it's pretty heavy duty. They've waded in on people. They've thrown them out for very, very little provocation. And then going back to the station, there is this big sort of stop-go kettling effect as you walk away from the stadium. And you get caught up in a great crush of people. with stewards standing there with, you know, quite literally these stop-go boards to try to ease the flow of people. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Once you get through one of these, there's, you know, there's absolutely nothing on the other side. And it comes over as a sort of show of authority. We're in charge here. You'll do what you're told. Mm. And I think that it could turn quite ugly.
Well, there was the incident with Chelsea and Middlesbrough, wasn't there? And I think they reviewed the seating plans or the seating arrangements and decided that there isn't enough of a gap between the segregation, so to speak. So instead of it being four rows, they made it six or something along those lines.
There was trouble at the Chelsea game with people, you know, on both sides behaving very badly. We've always had a long history of dislike with Chelsea. I'm not obviously condoning violence on either side, and I think the stewards there had quite a tough job, but it's not so much those kind of flashpoint things, it's the everyday going to the game where the stewards are not putting people at ease, they are kind of causing unrest and a sort of a tension within the crowd in certain areas too.
Is it true that a lot of them are going to be holding handheld cameras?
Well, I don't know about that. I couldn't comment. If somebody starts filming me, I'll be asking them to stop because it would infringe my civil liberties. Yeah. I have been filmed before, as every football supporter has back in the bad old dark days, and it's the sort of thing that can make the most law-abiding citizen feel very angry indeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I really, really hope they don't start doing anything like that. That would be very provocative.
You know, it's sad to say this, but gone are the days where you can go to a football game and, you know, sit in your regular seat and know all the stewards around you. We can have the banter with them. You know, they know you like the back of your hand, so to speak, and you've got a relationship with them. They keep talking about a customer service experience in football grounds these days, but if you really think about it, that was the customer service experience back then, wasn't it? That was the ultimate experience, because you turn up, go to your seat, you know the people around you, the same person sat next to you, you know, you only talk to them for 90 minutes, but then after that, that's it. You know the stewards, you know everyone around there, but those days are gone now, aren't they?
Well, they certainly have gone for West Ham supporters. Now, whether or not we'll ever get those back, I mean, clearly groups will form, friendship groups will form, and there'll be some relocation, I'm sure, of seating, and people will try to make a go of it. But it's still a big leap from what most, certainly hardcore, old stager, if you like, West Ham supporters remember and would like back. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a new generation of supporter coming along who they don't give a monkey's. They go, that's what, they're happy to go in, be searched on the way into the ground, sit there quietly, not make any noise, and then go away again, not stop off for a pint with their mates and go home and go, oh, I've been to a football match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, I'm not one of them.
Don't blame you. So, the club sit 12th in the table, 9 points away from the relegation zone. Now, before we discuss a certain Frenchman, tell me what you make of Slaven Bilic's tenure at the club so far, including last season, obviously.
Well, last season was terrific, obviously, and we were kind of riding a crest of the wave. I like Slav a lot as a guy. I think he's got a lot of dignity, a lot of class about him. Some of the signings, obviously, practically all of the signings during the summer were terrible. Now, whether he was responsible for all of those or whether or not there was a Golden Sullivan input, who knows? But some of them wouldn't get in a third division north side, I think, that we bought during the summer. But Slav, as a manager and as a guy and as the, you know, kind of the face of the club, I'm delighted to have him there, and long may he continue.
Mm. Well, I was about to mention the signings. I mean, £40 million or thereabouts was spent in the summer, and a lot of those signings were questionable. I mean, I'm not sure how happy you were when Bilic brought these players in, but I wasn't convinced the likes of Zsa Zsa, Touré and Caleri had it in them to be a success in the league. But then there's Masuaku, who I believe is absolutely dreadful. I mean, I watch a lot of Greek football, and when they signed him from Olympiacos, I'm thinking the Greeks are laughing their backsides off, because to get £6 million, however much it was for him, he's an atrocious defender. Do you think Bilic chose to sign all of them, though?
I don't think so. I'd be surprised if he did. And some of them are just really not up to Premier League football.
We look at Cresswell. He brought him in last summer, didn't he? Or was it Allardyce who brought him in?
I think Allardyce brought him in. And I mean, he's been terrific, of course. And Sam Byron, who actually got to play again, finally after being out for 3 months in the second half on Saturday, I've got really high hopes of him. But again, he was a signing from last season. But the Nordvites, and obviously Zaza, was a disaster. Figuli, obviously the jury is still very much out on Figuli. People are raving about his performance in the second half against Palace on Saturday, but how he missed the goal, the opportunity against City in the Cup the week before is, my old gran would have scored that, I mean, I'm not convinced by Figuli. Touré, I'm certainly not convinced by. One or two of the others, really, as I say, shouldn't be earning their money playing football.
Fair point. So who would you like to see join in this window, and who do you think they will sign? Because they've been talking about Defoe, and there's been this alleged derisory bid. I mean, I don't know how true that is. Who would you like to see come in at West Ham, and who do you think they'll bring in?
Lionel Messi.
Fair enough. So who do you want to bring in?
We've got a big stadium, and these are the sort of players who are all queuing up to come and join us now. We've moved out of the grotty old bowling ground, and we're in the bright, shiny Olympic Stadium. Bring them on.
They've heard the popcorn is good. So
the popcorn is second to none. Yeah, you won't get better popcorn than we're serving. The Ben and Jerry's ice cream, too, I believe, is well worth a visit.
What do you make of these rumours about Jermaine Defoe possibly coming back to West Ham? Would you welcome him with open arms?
Me, personally, no, but I've got a very long memory. no, I'll bring back Frank Lampard and Paul Ince as well. Let's really, have a party. No, I don't think Defoe's coming back. He probably wants to, but because he wants to live in Sunderland, let's be honest. But I don't see it myself.
No? Okay.
I mean, there are some players, knocking around who would obviously improve us. I think Snodgrass, for example, would be a decent buy. I'm not saying that we've got a perfect side, but I don't see Defoe coming back.
Well, Snodgrass would be a fantastic signing, I believe, because he's got a sweet left foot, he creates chances, great set pieces, practically what Payet does anyway, really. And I think he's...
Sorry, Payet,
Number 27,
that's the one, yeah.
Okay, well, this Italian fellow, Zaza, he's joined what I'd like to call the Bouncy Castle Club, a.k.a. Valencia, but it's the action...
Oh, he was hilarious. He really was. He was worth it for the comedic value alone, I think, Zaza.
was he that bad?
His shot that ended up further, closer to the halfway line than it did to the goal. I mean, that alone, that is pure West Ham. Mm. That he'll go down with some of the all-time greats, like Joey Beecham and Marco Bugas, John Radford.
Wow, you're giving names now. When you say Marco Bugas, I'm thinking like Florin Radicchio, who came in for a bit.
Florin Tubo Radicchio, yeah, he was terrific as well. Now, we've had some great players wearing the claret and blue over the years. In fact, actually picking the worst, anybody can pick the best West Ham 11 of all time. Picking the worst, now that really is a challenge. Oof. There are three or four players vying for every position, apart from goalkeeper, which is just a shoo-in for Alan McKnight.
I don't know what to say. I've never heard the fans be so critical of their club on the show before. Brilliant, I love it.
Brilliant. Okay. Oh, well, that's the West Ham way,
Brilliant, okay, right. Number 27, the player whose career West Ham revived, helping him get a place back in the French national team. He wants out and will use every trick in the book to get his own way. What on earth is this bloke playing at?
A very good question. I mean, whether or not he's believing his own publicity, he obviously has a bit of a record at clubs he's been at. He doesn't stick around for very long. Was it Marseille where he actually stuck one on the club captain while were both out on the pitch? Yeah. He does have a bit of a record. I mean, there is one theory floating around, which I'm sort of happy to share because of my love of Messrs. Sullivan and Gold, that basically they said to him, look, we can't just sell you because there will be uproar from the fans. So if you want to go, we'll give you a move if you come out and say you're not going to play for us anymore. You say that, and then we can get rid of you, and you can go, we can get the money, and everybody will be happy, everybody apart from the supporters. So, as I say, that is merely a theory. Whether or not that is true, I don't know. But that's kind of the way West Ham fans are thinking at the moment. They're
letting him go without a fight shows a sign of weakness, doesn't it? So,
I mean, he will go in the transfer. I mean, what, you just can't keep a player who doesn't want to play for you. There is absolutely no point. And provided, of course, he passes a medical. I mean, given the amount of running around he's done this season on our behalf, that would be touch and go. I mean, in the cup replay against Manchester United, they should have, you know, the League Cup, they should have withheld his money, quite honestly. I mean, his performance was a disgrace in that game.
Yeah.
He just strolled around. He really looked like he did not care at all. And you can do what you like at West Ham. You can be awful. And we'll forgive you if you put in a shift and you look like you actually want to be there and you are at least, you know, working your guts out. And last season, player did. He was, you know, he was an absolute revelation. We loved him. This season, he just has not turned up at any time. I mean, his goal against Middlesbrough was terrific. But other than that, his, you know, his general all-round performance. And there's a sort of certain arrogance about him as well, that every time we line up for a free kick, Creswell goes over. It may be on the left-hand side, which would suit, you know, a left-footed player like Creswell. He's a terrific free kick taker. Every time, Paye must take it. And this, you know, this year, his corners have barely cleared the first man. Free kicks have gone into the wall or gone over the bar. The one he scored against Liverpool, the keeper should have saved it. It was, you know, delighted that it went in, but it wasn't, it wasn't the sort of thing he was putting in last year, which were unstoppable.
That's right. Well, the 3-0 win at the weekend showed the team can win games without him. Personally, I think Fegueli, who you mentioned before, I think he's a pretty decent player. I mean, he may not do spectacular things, but he gets the job done. I mean, I find it incredible how one week it seemed that fans were about to turn on Bilic, but a couple of decent results coupled with number 27 Strop, and the whole club has been galvanised, and Bilic has got his get-out-of-jail card.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Well, the transformation between the Man City Cup game and Saturday was... Although, I mean, don't run away with the idea that it was a cauldron of noise from the start against Crystal Palace. The first half, you could have actually slept through the first half, and the sort of football that both sides were serving up, going to sleep actually wouldn't have been such a bad idea. But there was no noise at all. There was next to nothing in the way of atmosphere. And it didn't really, I mean, obviously our first goal got people going to a certain extent, but it wasn't really until Carroll scored that, you know, that fantastic volley that then the stadium really started singing en masse. And that was in the 79th minute. And if you can't get up and get excited after a goal like that, well, check your pulse because you're probably dead.
Do you remember when Pierre Van Hooijdonk threw a wobbly at Nottingham Forest? And, you know, he came back and he scored that goal against Derby County and no one celebrated with him. I mean, is this the point of no return for that certain player? I mean, if he decides...
I think so, yeah, I think so. We're not a particularly forgiving lot at West Ham. And, you know, as the likes of Paul Lintz, Jermaine Defoe and Frank Lampard will testify, and you turn around and say you don't want to play for us, that I don't think we'll be kissing and making up anytime soon.
That's a fair point. And what about Andy Carroll? Because I keep reading the same quote, if Andy Carroll stays fit, ... What is it about this footballer? Because we saw at the weekend what he can do. I mean, he's a threat, let's be honest. I mean, when he was at Newcastle, he was an animal, wasn't he? And
he's a beast, yeah, no, he's absolutely, you know, when he's firing, he's on form. And I mean, he ripped Arsenal to shreds single-handedly last year.
Yeah.
They just didn't know what to do with him. Every time he turns up against Swansea, they, you know, I think they they run up the white flag. he really, when he is, you know, is on form, that old-fashioned English-style centre-forward, you know, that we talk about time and again, that really are a dying breed. And he is more than just, you know, a bit like Peter Crouch, who was always old Peter Crouch, brilliant in the air. But, you know, Crouch was you know, very talented on the deck as well. And Andy Carroll has got a fantastic left foot on him. And he has a certain amount of trouble playing the kind of Billage's preferred style of football. I mean, we have to, you know, with a player like Carroll, you have to tailor your side around what he brings to it. Otherwise, he's just not at the party. But if you do that and you play a kind of a rather basic, you know, get the ball down the wings, get the crosses in and get Carroll on the end of them, you've got chances.
That's right. I mean, to be fair, I think if you can get a run of games together and, you know, plays up front with Andre Ayew, it could be a lot of problems, couldn't they? Give the other teams a lot of problems, a lot to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, what's really changed the course of the game on Saturday was going to a back four rather than playing three at the back. We then got players much closer to Carroll and played off him and around him. And, you know, back to goal, he is, you know, there probably aren't many better players in the league. So if you play that kind of football and he then brings other players into the game and you've got people running past him, and when you've got the likes of Antonio and Lanzini, you can do that. And we look really comfortable in the second half. And I was genuinely surprised at Palace. I mean, when you look at what Palace have got on paper, they've got some terrific players. You would think that they really shouldn't be where they are at the moment. But they were poor, I thought, on Saturday. They never got going. And when we clicked in the second half, they really had no answer.
Absolutely. Well, judging by what Bilic has endured this season compared to last, how far do you think he can take the club?
Well, if he could take us back to the bowling ground, I'd be delighted. But I don't suppose that's going to happen. We're mid-table, and that's kind of what West Ham are as a club. I mean, this, you know, the talk last year of, oh, we might, you know, break into the top four and all the rest of it. Well, we probably need a bit more help from the Plattenbergs and Mike Deans of this world before that happens. But, you know, we are what we are, and you know, we are a mid-table club. We're not going to get relegated with the squad we've got, and neither are we going to be bursting into the top four. Now, whether or not we start attracting the kind of players that you need to get up to that level, and although it pains me to say, you see what Tottenham have done, and they have turned themselves from being basically a mid-table underachieving club into a very successful team. Funny enough, after getting rid of their best player, I mean, they lost Gareth Bale and had become a better team as a result of it.
Right.
So it's fingers crossed with us that we get rid of number 27 and move on.
And before I let you go, tell me about this these two Europa League campaigns. Are you one of the fans that are disappointed that the club didn't take it as serious as what it should or could have?
Well, you know, I remember the good old days of Europe. European football at the bowling ground. So when, you know, when you're playing top level European football and you're getting into the, you know, the real business end of a competition, it is fantastic, exciting. When you're playing Vauxhall Astra in the middle of August, and you know the cricket season is nowhere near finished, it's very hard to get excited by those games. I mean, it gets some people in, obviously, who maybe wouldn't sort of see it otherwise. It's a hell of a draining tournament, that one, though, isn't it? You know, you play a lot of games and you suddenly get to, like, this time of the season, if you're still in it, you've got that Thursday, you know, the regular Thursday game. Do they still play on a Thursday? I think
Thursday or Sunday, yeah. Thursday,
so Sunday. Then, you know, then you've got your Sunday league football, which I hate. I hate Sunday games because of all the drag of getting there and getting back with Sunday transport. So, yes, of course, I would love to see West Ham win a European competition, but on the other hand, I'm not terribly thrilled when we win the Fair Play League, or, you know, we've got the nicest kneecaps in the league, and so we're invited into this tournament that you know is going nowhere. And of course, the injuries we actually suffered in just those early games were pretty serious. And so I'm not a huge fan, is the short answer.
Fair enough. Well, look, if Andy Carroll can get a run of games, then you won't be winning that Fair Play Award, will you? You'll be all right.
No, that's true. No, I think there's... well, and of course, as long as Mark Noble stays on the beach, there's no chance of us winning the Fair Play League.
Yes, so. Fantastic. Well, Brian, thank you ever so much for your time, mate. I really appreciate it. It's been great talking to you about West Ham. Hopefully you can come back on and join us on our Premier League reviews that we have every week. It'll be great to have you back on again.
Anytime. Be delighted. Thank you very much for asking me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Well, would you like to tell our listeners your Twitter handle? Because I know that you use it quite often.
Brian Will 26.
Well, again, Brian, thank you ever so much for your time, mate, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Anytime, it's a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Guys, you can give us a follow at Shoot the Defence. We also have a Facebook group page, so join us. Take care.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.